Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33. From verse 14 to verse 26. Jeremiah 33, from verse 14 to 26. Once you have it, say amen. Now, I don't know what your custom is wherever you worship, but let me just invite you to stand if you're comfortably able for the reading of the word. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promises I made to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteousness. For this is what the Lord says, David will never fail to have a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel, nor will the priests who are Levites ever fail to have a man to stand before me continually, to offer burnt offerings, to burn grain offerings, and to present sacrifices. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. This is what the Lord says. If you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that the day and night no longer come at their appointed time, then my covenant with David and my servant, and my covenant with the Levites who are priests ministering before me, can be broken, and David will no longer have a descendant to reign on his throne. I will make the descendants of David my servant, and the Levites who minister before me as countless as the stars of the sky and as measureless as the sand on the seashore. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Have you noticed that these people are saying, the Lord has rejected the two kingdoms he chose, so they despise my people and no longer regard them as a nation. This is what the Lord says, if I have not established my covenant with day and night and the fixed days of heaven and earth, then I will, the fixed laws of heaven and earth, then I will reject the descendants of Jacob and David my servant, and will not choose one of his sons to rule over the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will restore their fortunes and have compassion on them. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. I believe it was Sigmund Freud, the German psychoanalyst, who said, Christianity is a product of wishful thinking, that human beings desire to have a father figure, and so they invent this heavenly father called God so that they can worship him in time of trouble. And similarly, Karl Marx, the German philosopher, also said that Christianity, or for that matter, all religion, is the opiate of the people. We invent this religion because we are demented, so he said, and we want to have something that will pacify our declining situation. And then you have Friedrich Nietzsche, another German philosopher who was an atheist and basically declared Christianity to be the religion of demented people. All of them Germans. Nothing against Germany. But we do have many other philosophers, even in the United States, who maintain the same claim that when you stand up as a Christian, you have lost your mind. What they're really saying in very few words is that God cannot be trusted. God cannot be depended upon. God cannot be believed. And when he makes a promise, That is all nonsensical. The promises of God cannot be trusted. They cannot be depended upon. Last year, when I was here, I stood up and did say, God willing, I will see you again next year. I made a promise. Now, I tried my best to honor it, and I'm here. My wife is here. My son is here. We tried our best to honor it, but human promises fail. Even when we mean well, we don't exactly stand behind our words consistently all the time, 100% of the time, to honor the promises. But God's promises are different. God's promises are reliable. God's promises are trustworthy. God's promises are dependable. And you can cling onto God's promises. You can hang on to them because you know that they're reliable, they're dependable, they're trustworthy, they're believable. You can take that to the bank, to use an American expression. God's promises are trustworthy. And let me give you four reasons why I believe God's promises are trustworthy. God's promises are trustworthy, first of all, because they are sacred. They are sacred. You look at verse 14, 15, and 16 of Jeremiah 33. The sacredness of God's promises seems to come through. He says, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the first evidence of the sacredness, my gracious promises to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. The sacredness continues. At that time, in that day and at that time, here is the sacredness. I will make my righteous branch. That's sacredness coming through. I will make my righteous branch sprout from David's line. Sacredness number three. He will do what is just. Sacredness number four. And what is right in the land. Here is sacredness number five. Jerusalem. In that day, Judah will live in safety. Sacredness number six. And Jerusalem will be, Judah will be safe, and Jerusalem will live in safety. Sacredness number seven. And this is the name by which it shall be called. The Lord, our righteousness. God's promises are trustworthy. Because they are sacred. And the sacredness and the sanctity and the solemnity of this promise comes through, especially when you consider the fact that he's doing this with the solemnness you experience when you're making your marital vows. When you give your spouse a ring, you are saying, look, you can trust me to walk with you through this journey. You can trust me to stand with you during this time. And I am going to honor my side of the covenant. As long as you honor your side of the covenant. And that's why the marriage vows are the happiest occasion, while at the same time reminding you of the saddest occasion. Till death do us part. That covenant, that promise is sacred. And the reason you and I have been reminded of this sacredness of God's promise is so that you and I will not despise the promise of God in Scripture. That you and I will revere the promises of God in Scripture. That you and I will respect the promises of God in Scripture. So that when He makes a promise, He is going to honor it because it is coming from the very essence of God Himself. The promises of God. God's promises are trustworthy. First of all, because they are sacred. And you and I need to continually uphold the sanctity and the solemnity of the promises of God. When you read Scripture and you hear words such as, God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. That is a solemn promise. When He tells you that when you pray, He will answer, that is a sacred promise. When He tells you that if you are sick, call upon the elders of the church and they will anoint you with oil and lay hands on you, and a prayer offered in faith shall make a sick person well, that is a sacred promise that you and I have got to depend upon and trust and revere and respect and not despise it. God's promises are trustworthy because they are sacred. Secondly, God's promises are trustworthy because they are specific. They are specific. Look at verse 17 and verse 18 and notice the specificity of the promise, the particularity of the promise, the clarity of the promise, how it has been articulated by God. And God is saying, here is the promise. This is what the Lord says, David will never fail to have a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel, nor will the priests who are Levites ever fail to have a man to stand before me continually to offer burnt offerings, to burn grain offerings, and to present sacrifices. Very specific. Very clear, very well articulated by God Himself. God is saying, I'm going to honor that promise. I'm going to give you that promise. But please bear in mind, this is happening at a turbulent time in the life of Judah. They are being surrounded by the Babylonian army. The Babylonians are about to break in and to capture Zedekiah the king. And to take all the intellectuals and all the gifted people in Israel, taking them captive. And God is saying, look, yes, I know this guy is coming. He's going to take your king. But David will never fail to have a man sit on the throne. David will never fail to have a descendant sit on the throne. David will never fail to have one of his offspring sit on the throne. It is a specific promise. It is a clear promise. It is well articulated. Way back, I believe it was in 2000, the year 2000, around June, July, I'd been invited to preach in a certain church that I'll leave unnamed, not here in Baltimore, but somewhere in the United States. And I preached what I thought was my heart out. I gave it all I've got. By the end of it all, the pastor called me to his house, and we were having dinner, and then he went to his office, he called me to his office and started interviewing me, asking me questions. Then finally he said, the Spirit of the Lord told me something about you. I said, oh, what's that? Don't worry, it is not a bad thing, but I'll not tell you what it is. But the Spirit of the Lord told me something about you. It's not a bad thing. But I will not tell you what it is. And I'm sitting there wondering, okay, the Spirit of the Lord told you something about me. Did He tell you to tell me that He told you something about me and that you should not tell me what it is? He said, no, don't worry.
It is not a bad thing. And so I said, so when will I know? Said, sometime in the future. It's been 18 years. I am still waiting for this something about me that the Spirit of the Lord told this guy that up to now I still don't know what it is. Folks, when God has a message for you, it is going to be clear. It is going to be specific. And you will know exactly what God wants of you. When God has planned something for you, he says, I know the plans I have for you. He has clear, well-articulated, specific plans for you. And you. And you. And you. You will never sit in obscurity. You will never sit in ignorance. You will never sit in a state of not knowing, because God delights in revealing his will to his children. The promises of God are specific. That's why they're reliable. God's promises are trustworthy. First of all, because they are sacred. Secondly, because they are specific. Third, because they are secure. God's promises are secure. Just listen to the confidence with which God gives this promise, beginning at verse 19 and stopping at verse 22. No one else can give this promise the way God does. Listen to how he says it. The word of the Lord, verse 19, came to Jeremiah. This is what the Lord says. If you, now not God, if you can break my covenant with the day and my covenant with the night, so that day and night do not come at their appointed time, my covenant with David, my servant, and my covenant with the Levites, who are priests ministering before me, can be broken, and David will no longer have a descendant to reign on his throne. If you can do that, then watch me. Let's see if you can do it. And then he goes down to verse 22. And he says, for I will make the descendants of David my servant and of the Levites who minister before me as countless as the stars in the sky and as measureless as the sand on the seashore. God is saying, my promises to you are secure. And if you want to break the covenant that I'm making, you will have to begin with breaking the covenant that I've made with the days. The first day I created them, I said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be stars, the solar system. And we had the solar system. That was my covenant. And they continue to this day. They have never been broken. And if you can break that, then you will break my covenant with the nation of Israel. If you can destroy that, because every morning when the sun rises, I say, do it. The following day, I say, do it again. The next day, I say, do it again. And the following day, I say, do it again. Because God honors his covenant. And when he honors them, he honors them because he knows that he is a sovereign God who makes secure promises. God's promises are secure. God's promises are stable. God's promises are firm. God's promises cannot be moved. Now, if you think of a how a hurricane can bring down a home, or a tornado can destroy a roof, or floods can rock the foundations of a house. God is saying, no hurricane will destroy my promises. No hurricane, whether spiritual or physical, will destroy anything that I have purposed to do, so that you and I have the obligation of maintaining our trust in God, remaining trustworthy and trusting this God always and never failing. If you think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had every reason to throw their faith away. They had every reason to reject God. They had every reason to renounce God. But they trusted in God's promises because they knew that God's promises are secure. And they told the king, even if he chooses not to secure us, no, O king, we will not bow down before this image. They trusted, they trusted, they trusted, they trusted, they trusted. You and I need to increase in our trust, in our dependence, in our complete surrender to the solemnity, the sacredness, but also the specificity, as well as the security of the promises of God. God's promises are trustworthy. First of all, because they are sacred. Secondly, because they are specific. Third, because they are secure. But fourth, because they are sincere. God's promises are sincere. Listen to how God gets very sincere here. It's like he's lowering his voice, lowering his tone. It is saying in verse 23, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And then he says, have you noticed? Have you noticed? Have you noticed that the people are saying the Lord has rejected the two kingdoms he chose? Have you noticed that? So that they despise my people and reject them as a nation? Have you noticed that? Then in verse 25, the word of the Lord says, if I have not established my covenant with night and day, or day and night, depending on what version you're reading, if I have not established my covenant with night and day, or with the fixed laws of heaven and earth, if I have not established my covenant, then I will reject the descendants of Jacob and David my servant, and will not choose one of his sons to rule the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But he revisits his covenant, the last line. He says, I will restore their fortunes, and I will have compassion on them. He says, I am sincere. I will do this. Please trust me. I'm going to accomplish this. I will fulfill this. I can be trusted. I can be depended upon. I wasn't planning to say this, but I'm going to say it. I remember a friend of ours. He was a family friend. He had just been saved way back there in Nyakach. He had just been saved. Now, quite frankly, I'm not even sure he was saved now that I look back at his life. This guy had just been saved. This guy had a tiny little bone from a pig that he used to keep in his pocket. And he would say, this bone protects me. And so when he was saved, the guy who led him to Christ said, now that you know that Jesus has saved you, throw that bone away. He looks at it and says, Jesus, you will really, 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 really have to come through for me, because this is the thing that has been protecting me. I'm having a hard time breaking ranks with this bone. Would you promise me that you will not fail me?
And the person told him, you know what, throw that thing away. It's just a bone. It's just a bone. If it is protecting you, why do you have to carry it? If God is protecting you, he will carry you. He's sincere. I don't know if you've ever signed up with these TV stations. Not TV stations, but these cable companies. You sign up with, Comcast, or AT&T, or DirecTV, and they tell you you'll be paying us $29 a month. 5 months down the line, it's $29.99. 6 months down the line, it has gone up to $32.55. A whole year, you are paying $45. And you call them. You ask them, hey guys, when I signed up, you told me that I'm going to pay you $29. And now it's $45. What's going on? They said, when you signed up, you were supposed to lock in that rate within a month. And since you did not, the rates kept going higher and higher. And you're like, where did you say that? It is in the fine print, they tell you. Read the fine print. And you're like, where is the sincerity in this situation? I thank God. I worship a God who doesn't have fine prints. What he has declared is what I will see. What you see is what you will get. There are no gimmicks. There are no telltale signs of conspiracy. He is a God who is sincere. And we know that he honored his promise because he says, I will make my righteous branch sprout from David's line. That branch we know is Jesus Christ. And the day he came, God honored that. So much so that when Jesus came, his divinity took on humanity, his eternity took on temporality, his deity became a denizen, and he was a God whose meekness, when he came as a baby, his meekness masked his might, and his poverty pacified his power, and his humility housed his holiness, so that God comes across as the one who honors his promises, who stands behind his covenant, so that you and I are now free from sin, full of the Spirit, and fighters of Scripture. This is a God that you and I have signed up to trust in. He's a God that you and I have signed up to depend upon. God, his promises are reliable. Reason number one, because they are sacred. Reason number two, they are specific. Reason number three, they are secure. Reason number four, they are sincere. Are you doubting God this day? Is there a promise that you think God is not honoring? Is there a covenant you feel God has run away from? Think about it. He promises Abraham that he will have a child. The promise is fulfilled when Abraham was 75 years old. The promise is fulfilled when he's 100 years old. He had to wait 25 years. I'm still waiting for 18 years for that other story. So maybe I have to wait for 25 years, then I'll get to know what it is. But the promise was specific right from the beginning. It was not in obscurity. Is there something about God that you're hoping he will come through for you about, and he just doesn't seem to come through? You're praying and praying and praying and fasting, and your patience is running out. May I suggest to you,
remember, his promises are sacred. Don't despise the promise. His promises are specific. Always remember that. You will never live in obscurity. Don't change the promise that God has made for you. There's that chorus that says, akisema atakubariki, hakuna atakayefanya nini. Yeah, that one. Swahili is always a challenge for me. Or maybe you feel as if God has changed his mind. Or maybe he's really trying, but he's not succeeded. When I was completing my studies at the University of Kentucky in philosophy, a fellow Christian student friend of mine came to me and said, Joseph, I'm a Christian, but you know what? I've decided that God is not entirely powerful. I said, you've made that decision for God? He said, yeah, God is just not powerful enough. I mean, he means well, but he's not powerful enough to carry his promises through. I said, well, that's not the God I worship, brother. The God I worship is powerful enough to carry his promises through. I don't know about you. Maybe you feel God is cheating you. He's let you down. He's not doing what you thought he would do, like the cable companies and the telephone companies. My challenge to you is stay on the battlefield.